Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 33 of Never on the Backfoot podcast. This episode is yet again a review and analysis episode of the India vs. England T20 series. From 1-2 down, Virat Kohli's men yet again completed a remarkable series win against the top-ranked T20 side in the world. We got to see two quality sides in some high-octane matches that went to the wire and certainly made for a very interesting series. Considering that the T20 World Cup is looming a little later this year, Morgan asserted that this series will give England good game time for preparation. Although the scoreline reached 3-2 in India's favour, England fought tooth and nail and gave literally nothing away in all these crucial matches. The template for Indian cricket in 2021 seems to be set. Lose the first match of the series and come from behind to clinch the trophy. Let's kickstart our discussion with a summary of the matches that happened. In the first T20 International, India, on losing the toss, was put to bat first and scored an underwhelming 124 for 7 in their 20 overs quota. Shreyas Iyer was probably the only positive in that match, scoring a 67 of 48, while none of the other batsmen contributed. England wrapped up the match with ease, with Jason Roy scoring a stellar 49 with the Indian bowling rendered ineffective. In the second T20 International, India showed some character and put up a very impressive performance. England was put to bat first and made 164 for 6 with Washington Sundar and Shardul Thakur taking 2 wickets. Virat Kohli showed his brilliance with the bat yet again, scoring a fantastic 73 of 49. But Ishan Kishan with his debut 50 was a notch above and India won the match comfortably. The series was tied 1-1. In the third T20 International, India, batting first after agonizingly losing yet another toss, could muster and put up just 156 on the board. Yet again, a Virat Kohli masterpiece was witnessed when he scored a 77 of 46 balls, and this was the talking point as the rest of the batting was simply unimpressive. England chased it down with ease owing to the magnificent 83 of 52 posted by Jos Buttler and a 40 by Bairstow that helped them get a crucial lead of 2-1 in the series. In the fourth T20 International, India staged another comeback as batting first we made a competitive 185 for 8 with Surya Kumar Yadav scoring a skillful 57. England was chasing well with some handy cameos by Stokes, Jason Roy and Bairstow, but it was a nail-biter as England missed on making it 3-1, losing by 8 runs. With the series tied at 2-2 now, the fifth T20 International had to be a cracker of a contest and it definitely lived up to that. In the fifth T20 International, India scored a very competitive 224 batting first, riding on Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma and Pandya chipping in, and it was always going to be difficult for England to chase the big total down. But Malan, who had a very quiet series, finally silenced his critics as he scored a masterful 68 of 46, keeping England in the reckoning to pull off the win. But a brilliant spell by Shardul Thakur and an even unbelievable spell by Bhuvi ensured we edged England 3-2 and won the series in style. Let's now focus on some other major talking points across the 5 matches that happened. There were a number of positives and also a few concerns for India in the series. Kohli had said at the start that they would play a new brand of cricket in the shortest format ahead of the T20 World Cup later this year. Whether or not they did that against England is still up for debate. But despite chopping and changing their lineup consistently, India got the desired result. Surya Kumar Yadav and Ishan Kishan. The biggest positive for India in the batting department has been the arrival of Surya Kumar Yadav and Ishan Kishan. The duo excelled for Mumbai Indians in IPL 2020 and have added immense firepower to India's lineup with their impressive international debuts. Both batsmen got half centuries in the first innings and made significant contributions in 3 Indian victories, while Surya Kumar Yadav seems to be given a longer rope considering how well he is doing in consecutive matches and has got a chance to play in the ODI series, Kishan's presence in the playing 11 remains a doubt because he missed out due to an injury and did not return to the playing 11. Now with Kohli deciding to open, Kishan's place still has to be figured out. Virat Kohli's imperious form. Now, the form of Virat Kohli has been the biggest talking point. He was under pressure having registered 2 ducks in the preceding test series and another in the first T20I. But Virat Kohli turned things around impressively, scoring a total of 231 runs in the next 4 games and picked up the Player of the Series award quite deservingly. But his position in the batting order remains a major talking point. Kohli promoted himself to the top of the order in the 5th T20 International and remained unbeaten to anchor the Indian innings with a 52-ball 80. After the match, he even said that the middle order looks very strong to him and that he would like to continue as an opener along with Rohit Sharma. Now, if that was going to happen, KL Rahul will definitely find it difficult to seal a spot in the T20 side. KL Rahul's form and Shikhar Dhawan's unceremonious axing from the T20 side. After registering scores of 1, 0 and 0 in the first 3 games, KL Rahul received strong backing from Kohli and the batting coach of Team India, Vikram Rathore, even calling him the best Indian batsman in the shortest format. But after a 17-ball 14 in the 4th game, KL Rahul was dropped for the decider. And now with Kohli eyeing a permanent spot at the top of the order, it will be interesting to see how things will play out. Shikhar Dhawan is another opener who was unceremoniously dropped after failing in the first T20 International, which was unfortunate, but it paved the way for newbies to come through and deliver. By benching Shikhar Dhawan for the 4 out of 5 T20 Internationals, Team India has probably sealed his fate in this format and delivered the message that he isn't in the scheme of things going ahead. Though he had a dream run in the IPL, Dhawan will have to back himself as he hasn't performed that well in the shortest format in the international level. Having scored 1,673 runs in 65 T20 internationals at a dismal 27.88, and he has been dropped twice from the playing 11 in World Cups too. Positives in the batting department. With the way things stand currently and Kohli firing at the top of the order with Surya Kumar Yadav, Ishan Kishan, Shreyas Iyer, Rishabh Pant and Hardik Pandya being contenders for the middle order, KL Rahul has a huge challenge on his hands if he wants to earn his spot back in the side. But with so many players playing well, this certainly augurs well for the team. Let's now talk about Bhuvaneshwar Kumar's return. In the bowling department, the return of Bhuvi has been, without doubt, a very big plus point for India. The experienced pacer has spent considerable amount of time on the sidelines due to injuries, but he has an economy rate of just 6.38 across the 5 matches, and this for any bowler among both the teams is the best, and he also backed the player of the match in the decider for delivering that sensational spell. It can't be denied, you know, that India's bowling attack looks so much more potent with the fit and informed Bhuvaneshwar Kumar. Now, the 31-year-old was mighty effective against England with the new ball as well as at the death. He got to swing the ball both ways and was accurate with his variations, and he became a go-to bowler for Kohli throughout the series. With him and Jasprit Bumrah, India could have a devastating pace bowling duo at the World Cup. Another positive for India has to be Hardik Pandya's return as a full-time bowler. Now, this is a massive advantage. The all-rounder delivered 17 overs in the series and was the second most economical bowler with 6.94 among both the teams. His spell of 2 for 16 in the 4th game was exceptional, and even in the decider, he showed grit to just concede 16 runs in the last 3 overs after being taken for 18 in his first. The right-arm medium pacer also used his cutters to great effect, and if he continues to remain fit with his back also supporting him, the balance in the Indian team will be a lot better and the stability will be achieved. Let's now talk about the underrated Shardul Thakur and his key spells. Now, he was another key contributor for India. His 8 wickets in the series were by far the most among Indian bowlers, and he did provide breakthroughs in crunch situations. However, he would find it tough to, you know, earn a spot once the likes of, say, Bumrah or even Mohammad Shami return. The team management, though, would be pleased with his performances, and if he has to make a strong case in the playing 11, a good IPL has to be there. Let's talk about a cause for concern, the spinners and their ineffectivity. In terms of spinners, India did not have a lot to write home about in the T20 series. We saw how the pitches have been conducive for fast bowling, but the hosts would have expected, you know, Chahal or Washington Sundar to have bigger impacts. But the duo just proved to be expensive, with Chahal getting replaced by Rahul Chahar for the other three games. But having said that, India shouldn't be worried at the moment, because these spinners can definitely gain confidence in the IPL, and the pitches in the World Cup post that would be less pace friendly, which would favour them. Another pressing question is if Virat and Rohit opening partnership is a possibility in the future. Now, Virat Kohli opened the innings with Rohit Sharma in the 5th T20i International. Yes, this can be a possibility going ahead, considering the Indian skipper hinted at the same during the presentation ceremony. The out-of-the-box thinking Kohli, with his deputy in the final T20, was actually a brilliant move. It's not that he hasn't opened in the past. Kohli has resisted the move so that his presence can actually solidify and strengthen the middle order. He is now confirmed to open the innings in IPL 2021, and performances in the IPL will have a big say in deciding whether Kohli will give himself the batting promotion or not. Another positive is how India is ready to give new faces a chance in T20 internationals. Now, this 5-match T20 international series displayed that India is ready to give chances to new faces even in a World Cup year, and the race to the few vacant spots is still open. Ishan Kishan and Surya Kumar Yadav did make their debut in the series, and for now, it looks like Surya Kumar Yadav has done enough to keep his spot in the next series as well. Varun Chakravarti and Rahul Devatia have also made their debuts, but their fitness tests was a major hurdle. Let's now discuss the controversial catch and the soft call problem. Major talking point has to be the controversial dismissal of Surya Kumar Yadav and that catch by Malan. England fielders celebrated and Malan claimed the catch, but replays showed that he might have actually grasped it. However, the third umpire found no conclusive evidence to overturn the on-field umpire's soft call, which was out. Addressing a press conference ahead of the India's ODI series against England, Virat Kohli called the soft signal a very grey area that actually needs to be addressed. Now, according to the game's rules, the on-field umpires provide a soft signal in a way to express their views on a potential dismissal. TV umpires can't overturn the same unless they are certain that the call is wrong. The issue became contentious as many experts and players questioned how an umpire's decision that's taken yards away from action could have any value in impacting the third umpire's call. To focus on the positive that England can take from the series has to be Malan's performance in the last T20 International, Jofra Archer's bowling, Joss Butler and his ability to partner well, and how they have produced some best power play bowling that we've seen in the last couple of years. The middle order for England was not very sharp, and Adil Rashid's bowling has been a huge positive. Morgan also revealed that as of now, no player has been confirmed to be a part of the English squad for the upcoming World Cup, not even him, which are ominous signs. With this, we come to an end with the episode. I'd like to thank you all for ardently supporting the blog and the podcast. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms, so please do spread the word. Feel free to share your thoughts and suggestions for the already published episodes and recommendations for future topics. Do share this widely, and your support is really appreciated. See you next time, listeners. If you're on Instagram, please do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot. Cheers, stay safe, and take care, listeners. Bye for now.